columnist Dustin Cava. It is a Friday afternoon. It is 4:20 p.m. That means it is time. It is time, everyone. It is time, everyone who has subscribed to the Wayward Media channel, wayward.media on the interwebs. That's right, subscribed. Click, click on the button below. It is time. Because it is Friday at 4:20 p.m., you know the lingo. Smoke it if you got it, or subscribe if you want it. I just made that up on the spot, Dustin. We should totally trademark that. So smoke it if you want it. Subscribe if you. I shouldn't have been self-referential. I was rolling it, and then I kind of had to call out how brilliant my comment was. You ever do that, Dustin? Do you ever sit? By the way, welcome to Because Cannabis, everyone. BC Wayman, Dustin Cava. We're past formal introductions. Now we just roll right into what we want to do. Do you ever have a moment, Dustin, where you have a brilliant thought, like a brilliant observation, and you are like, hot diggity darn, I'm smart. Like, you're just like, bam, you just want to kind of call someone up and be like, screw you, I'm so smart. Like, that's a little much, that's a little extreme. But do you ever have a moment where you just are like, God, I had a great idea?
Respect. No, well, not ever.
You should celebrate yourself more, Dustin.
Yeah, I think I look at things too long. So by the time I'm done thinking about it, I'm like, you're an idiot, man. Just move on.
No, you got to find that praise in the middle of it. You got to find that praise to get yourself excited. Thank you for joining us. I hope you guys have joined us so far. We are happy and excited. Continuing every week. Every week, not missing a show. A great show last week. I had to bail on Dustin. I apologize for that. Thank you for filling in with that great show with Eric Asher. Just Dustin and Eric. Check that show out right now, as well as many of the past shows on our Because Cannabis channel. Make sure you subscribe. Check us out online, wayward.media. Socially, you can follow us at MeetWM, at MeetWM, M-E-E-T. Not the kind you eat, but the kind you greet. That's not a good rhyme. At MeetWM, anywhere socially, M-E-E-T-W-M. Every Friday, we'll be here for you. And don't forget, if you missed the show, if you are listening to this on audio, we appreciate that. Follow us, whether it's iTunes, Google Play. We are there usually about 2 weeks after the show airs on video. If you want to see the video, that's what you want to see. Dustin's a handsome fella. I'm above average, just six if you're counting. Check us out on YouTube, but also on audio everywhere that's available. Dustin, we have had some great conversations in the past with a lot of brilliant people. You know, we love to find people smarter than us here, which is most people, if I'm being honest. But I love it when we go deep into kind of the medicinal research application side of it, right? Because we are getting, as this drug becomes more legalized, do you ever hear, I don't believe it's an urban legend. I think this is fact. Fact check me here, Dustin. To my knowledge, up until recently, wasn't the government only allowed to like research or test on like total low grade brown frown stuff at one facility in like Area 51? That may not be the place. But now, I believe there was like one lab in Nebraska that had dirt weed, and that's all they were allowed to test on. I see our guest shaking her head. We should bring her in soon, but we're not yet. We're not yet.
My understanding is that, you know, there's actually quite a few universities. I think there's a few, at least one in Florida, and I think more university level. And no, in fact, I would think it would be quite the opposite. Having that
never
freedom.
Heard the story. Hold on. I'm going to fact check. You know, I'm going to fact check. I told you, if you don't know information, well, it's 2022. You don't know information, you Google it. I'm not a big Googler still. So if I don't know information, I find people smarter than
Google
me.
I got Google on my arm.
Oh my gosh. I did not know that till just now. Put a pin in that. Okay, stop right now that you have the Google logo on your arm. I just learned something new. I need to bring our guest in. I need to bring Kathy Reeder right now to get this show on track, because if I don't bring her in, the fact that I am literally, after almost a decade, learning that right now.
I know. How many times have you sat next to me?
Kathy, how does it make you feel knowing that our co-host has a corporate logo, Jeff Bezos kind of mushroom rocket ships? How does that make you feel that our co-host that I'm just learning about has a Google tattoo? Screw the cannabis conversation. We'll get there. We're going to make you smarter. But right now, Kathy Reeder, cannatracker.net, how you feeling about the Google logo on Dustin's arm?
I have a lot of questions.
Yeah, I think there are. Right?
Did you work there? Did your mom work there?
I will say that Google has probably tracked every conversation, every movement, every email, every website I've ever gone to for the past 20-some years. In addition to that, you know, 15 years ago, they had – every company, I'm a tech guy, we're an early adopter. We try out a lot of technologies when it comes to implementing things for clients and such like that. And so you factor in 20 years of companies that we have worked with or used a product. And I would say that about 90% of them Google has bought from. So at the same point, it used to get to the point with my other business partner where we would, I would type into Google, "Google, you know who I am. I think you should buy this company." And then 3 weeks later, we'd get an email saying, "Google just bought this platform and is implementing this." And so after so many years, my partner even was just like, I don't even know what to say about this anymore. We both know that they're watching you. We both know they're like, this guy goes to this website a lot. Let's just buy it.
I feel like you should be way richer. I feel like you should be way richer given that backstory.
Gosh.
All right.
Yeah.
At least every good tattoo has got to have a good story behind it. So.
And I like Halloween. So I got my little ghost. I got a little pumpkin. Perfect. I got everything I need right there.
Perfect. Halloween's the best.
All right. We're going to get this thing back on track. We got to talk cannabis. We're not talking because Google. That's a whole nother show. Because cannabis here on Wayward Media, wayward.media online. Anyway, as I was saying before we got distracted by your tattoo, we love having people on Smarter Than Us, particularly when we can kind of head into that research. You know, we know Dr. Hemant Kumar Bid, check out that past episode for sure, takes a deep dive into science. We've had people like Dr. Bridget Williams talking about aspects of it. And so when we have a person like Kathy Reeder from Canna Tracker, man, I've mispronounced that, Canna Tracker. It's in her box, and it will be in a link down below in the description. You can see right there in Kathy's little box that she's on screen, cannatracker.net. Kathy Reeder, thank you for joining us. First and foremost, let's get it out of the way since I mispronounced it twice. Help me pronounce it correctly. Let's just go with what cannatracker.net is, and then we'll take a deep dive into how you got there and talk about the endocannabinoid system and more.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, gentlemen.
Oh, for sure.
We're blessed.
Yeah. Canna Tracker, just for me, it was a business model that post-school. So I went to University of Maryland School of Pharmacy and got a graduate degree, Master's of Science in Medical Cannabis Science and Therapeutics. Upon graduating, you know, kind of like most people, segued into the cannabis space, wanting to be a advocate for patients and really teach all this great information, you know, that I got packed into 2 years. So immediately went into the dispensary model, started working within that. And, you know, I was there for about a year and a half. It was bought out by a large MSO because it was an independent one. So, you know, which is pretty standard.
Always happens with those. We've had conversations about that before. They do just swoop in and you think it's this ma and pa kind of vibe growing your cannabis. And at the end of the day, it's McDonald's and Burger King, or, you know, pick your two giant conglomerates that are fighting for your dollar.
It becomes, average independent.
It gets sad though. Like, do people, let me just interject here. Do people in Maryland, like, do they get mad about that? Do they care about the MSOs, or do they care about price point? Like, what is, you know, and Kathy is from Maryland, what is the scene like in Maryland when it comes to that vibe and just in general with cannabis?
You know, it's a good mixture. We've got some incredible independent growers still growing in Maryland. SunMed does amazing. District Cannabis, of course, is in there. So just two off the top of my head that are still independent, non-corporately owned, you know, as far as growers. So the dispensary that I worked for was purely retail only, no growing, and not vertically integrated. So, but, you know, and I mean, there's a lot of people with a lot of opinions, just like restaurants, right? You know, so I come from a restaurant background. My husband and I owned a barbecue joint called Hemp and Hill, nonetheless.
Fantastic.
Yeah, always smoking something was our tagline. So we've been working on this for a long time, right?
Well played. And, so that was well before this whole journey, huh? You're kind
absolutely
planting the seeds. We're just punning it all up in here. Planting the seeds.
I was going to say, everyone's punny today.
Oh, yeah, wow. It literally started because we threw really great parties at our house. And that segued into becoming a caterer and then a restaurant for 15 years. Wow. And then COVID hit. And then we said, peace out. And so I was already a year into grad school at that point, you know, so, but just like restaurants, right? You have chain restaurants, you have independent restaurants. And so for me, being independent, being an entrepreneur, I gravitated, you know, to our local one. And it was independent. It was a small group of people just kicking ass every single day. I mean, it was long 12, 13 hour days. But it was great. You know, a lot of great experience. I just didn't want to work for a large MSO at that point. So I decided to start Canna Tracker. And my theory and logic behind it is I wanted to be able to really spend time with patients, educate them, counsel them, listen to them, have the time to do all of that. So what I kind of started to develop is, you know, just private consultations. And in Maryland, it's, you know, it's a new thing for sure. A lot of people are just used to going to dispensaries like most and getting information there. Okay. And so, you know, as a business owner before and as an entrepreneur, you find a need and you fill it. So for me, I could see gaps in education on many levels, be it at the dispensary or just in the industry in general. You know, Maryland is a younger market, but the state's doing amazing things, you know, to put it all together. So that's kind of how it got started, you know, with this theory since December.
How much time do you actually get to spend with the patients, you know, on average? Or is it that everyone is different? You know, someone may take 4 hours, someone may take 35 minutes.
Within a dispensary model, you're asking?
Within your model, within the ability to sit with everybody and kind of, you know, get there.
So I schedule 1 hour consultations. Mm-hmm. And what I do is I do all the research beforehand. So I give them, you know, basically a questionnaire and just collect as much information from patients. What are you looking for? What do you want to get educated and counseled on? So that in that hour time frame, I pack a lot of information within there. But they also walk with a packet. So pretty much everything that I'm talking to them about, I have in a pre-formatted packet for them, their terpene education, their cannabinoid education, their ECS, what they're using it for, their dosing, their how to titrate up, how to titrate down, how to find your sweet spot. And a lot of people that I speak to also are new because I work within a physician referral system. Mm-hmm. So I currently have 5 local physicians that refer patients to me. So they're even like, what to expect at a dispensary when you go in, because it's overwhelming.
Yeah, I'm a patient. And even those first sit downs, it felt like it was more of a checklist that was being marked off just for your requirements. And it felt very little about the personal care. Or even that aspect of here, you can ask me a question as the physician. They were saying, go to the dispensary. And when you'd ask the dispensary in Ohio, I was being told, you know, that we're not allowed to actually talk about that specific thing, or we're not allowed to, you know, have that conversation. So it's very nuanced. It seems like this thing that even as someone who's been in the industry and owned businesses within the industry, I still had a hard time navigating, and where I could ask a question to an actual physician was really difficult.
Right. And in the Maryland model, like I say, Maryland itself, MMCC, so the governing regulated body, mm-hmm. Has done a great job at trying to give some structure to the system. So within that is every dispensary is required to have a clinical director on payroll, on staff. Now, that doesn't mean that they're physically there, right? So you could have one clinical director that is counseling on drug-drug interactions, particularly diving deeper and beyond than what bud tenders can. Yeah. You know, and there's just certain requirements. So whether it be at a physician, but you have to be licensed within the state of Maryland in a healthcare field. And, you know, but it's hard because they are not physically there. So it's not like a bud tender can start with you and then say, okay, you're going deeper than what we need. I'm going to pass you off to, you know, Kathy over here as a clinical director or what have you. It's not necessarily exactly how it works in my experience. You know, there are 102 dispensaries in Maryland and, you know, which are some great,
That's a pretty good number, I would imagine. I don't know off the top of my head. Do you know the population? I'm always curious about saturation percentage. Like, you know, Maryland's population roughly?
No, I don't. Not off the top of the head.
Off the top of the head.
Dustin's a Googler. He'll find it out for us. We're a big fan.
Google it for us, I'm sure.
Yeah. 6 million.
A Googler. He may. Is it 6 million?
It's 6 million.
All right. So, I mean, because we are, that's a little bit higher saturation kind of rate than we're at. It's not bad comparatively for that. Do you find in Maryland the physicians? All right, and I'm going to say, when I say physicians, we'll say doctors, we'll say people who went to med school maybe before the endocannabinoid system or before legalization. Do you find the physicians?
I feel a loaded question coming on.
I'm always curious. You know, there's obviously a new school versus old school generation, but just in general, like I would say, and just to preface this, I would say where we're from in our experience, we are in Ohio. We have physicians. If you do the number of doctors, like percentage, it's like less than point. Now, it's like 2%, I think, or so of registered physicians that actually signed up to be a recommending physician, right? Like, it's extremely low. You go to physicians meetings. They're actually, I would say, poo-poo on it, if I'm going to use a technical term there, clearly. So would you find that our is to Dustin's, and there are some great doctors here in Ohio. We've had a few on the show. Dr. Bridget Williams, Green Harvest Health, shout out. You know, we got some great doctors here, but a lot of referring physicians are money grabs. We'll just flat out, we'll say it, they're money grabs. What is it like in Maryland? Do you find the physicians are more into it? They're more approving of talking about, you know, cannabis and its uses and its, you know, the therapy that it can bring? Or do you find it is still kind of cannabis doctors and then what you would say regular doctors, for lack of a better term?
It's a little bit of a mix. So you have a small subset of physicians that are trying to become involved in cannabis knowledge and space. I personally, like I say, I work with five as of now directly that are active referrals coming in. But I also have a lot of other physicians that so in Maryland, you have to be registered with the state in order to be considered a provider, right?
Okay.
So within that list, yes, some of them are just kind of chatting with people and then going, you know, go talk to Kathy or go talk to a dispensary type of a thing. So, you know, I do think it's a mix. And then there are some physicians that just don't want to hear it, don't want to discuss it. It's not an option. And that's when I tell people as I'm speaking with them, like, okay, that's fine. You know, maybe second opinions.
I like that face she makes. She's like, she's like, thought she was about to name for a second there. She's like,
Well, and
she had someone in that head right there.
Is this just like a one shot deal for the education? Are, you know, like once we consult with you, are we able, you know, is this an ongoing thing? Because that first initial packet says something, but as they are dosing themselves and as they are using certain things for certain time frames or certain points of wellness, is there that ability to, for, you know, continued communication? Can they call you back and say, Kathy, I don't know what the heck this tincture is. And you know, what the hell this means. Can you walk this through?
Yeah, it happens often. And so in that packet is kind of like, okay, I can sit and listen to you. And I always preface it with people like, everything I'm going to tell you today is in this packet. So don't feel like you need to absorb everything. You get to take it home, sit and read it. Questions will come up, you know, just like any other appointment that you go to. Oftentimes, another family member will also come with the patient. And just like any other kind of clinical setting, it's because you're so kind of focused on your own thing, you get glazed over stuff, right? So, you know, my door's always open. I email, I text with patients, you know, throughout the day. Like, you know, I deal with one subset is kind of age populace. So they're going to be on average, probably, I'm going to say age 70 and up. That are new medical patients. And what I love about this is that they've come out of the Reagan age and the Nixon age.
And even beyond the Reefer Madness era. I mean,
absolutely.
That point. And they've sorted through all of that and are seeing light at the end of the tunnel and going, all right, this is not like what everybody said it's going to be. So talk to me about this. So we go through, and of course, it is an overwhelming experience. And so, yeah, I circle back around. I meet with patients, you know, either a 15-minute via phone or another hour follow-up. we will reassess, okay, this is what you're doing, because I'm sure the Ohio market is the same as Maryland. The medical menus drive me crazy because go in, right? You get something, it's awesome, it's working, you go back, not there.
Yeah. And you were not allowed to look at ours, so we're not allowed to see it ahead of time before you buy it at all. And
prepackaged and sealed from the cultivation facility.
Okay. Yeah. And then, and again, you have that availability thing where this has worked for me, but now, you know, I may have to drive 2.5 hours to find another one of the, you know, 30 stores or 70 stores I can get throughout Ohio. And that's a hard sell when it's medicine that has worked. It's this particular cultivar, it matters, you know? And, we're not allowed to smoke. Are you in Maryland? Are you allowed to actually combust, or is it only vape only? Or
no, we have flower, full on flower, everything. Yeah, I mean, like I say, they've set up the program really well, and you know, so a lot of what I do teach, in addition to the basics, it's how to be your own personal advocate. And so thus the name Canna Tracker comes from the fact that I really encourage people to journal. I actually developed, you know, and had printed a journal, and
look at that.
It's, you know, it's just something kind of small and it's simple, but I teach people how to use that, just like a dietitian, you know, like advising and counseling people on what you're eating, what you're putting in your body, and beyond cannabis, how that interacts with your food, and how, you know, if you're taking an edible and if you're eating something else, so teaching all those nuances, how that kind of layers in. So by coupling the journal together with the cannabinoid and then the terpene education, it's starting to kind of put all the puzzle pieces together for themselves. Mm-hmm. So they can walk into a dispensary and say, okay, I had Ochi Kush flower. This was the profile that's on it, because thank God Maryland is one of the states that requires on every single product to have cannabinoid and terpene content. Mm. And it's beyond just the top three. It's everything.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't have on the label, any patient can go into any dispensary and it is their right to ask for a COA printed.
What?
Oh, yeah. Wow. You can get a certificate of authority for those not in the know. I just learned that recently, so don't worry. Certificate of authority. You know, we're big on testing. We talked a lot about testing with Dr. Humant Kumar Bid. I love talking testing, but that is really cool. So you can walk in the dispensary. That's actually funny because testing's a big thing here in the state, and they feel like a lot of hardcore medical patients feel like there's information hidden. We're very, you know, it's way... cultivators in dispensaries have options to not really provide a lot of that. So that's exciting that they can have that and they're kind of forced to print it out and say, look, here is the complete profile, all the different cannabinoids in there, all the different terpenes, you know, and then obviously prove, you know, whether it passed its heavy metals and, you know.
Yeah, and that's exactly it. Even the test like goes to devices as well, you know, so I expect that element of the vape pen to be tested to a certain degree, and I want that batch number to know that this is good. You know, in Michigan, again, I keep thinking back to going into a Michigan dispensary and signing the waiver in every single dispensary in Detroit that said none of these products were tested. And this is even the medical side was not tested.
Wow.
And so, you know, like it's a total different, my mindset when I walk into a Michigan dispensary as opposed to when I walk into Ohio as a patient is night and day. I feel more protected in Ohio and I feel like I have the right to ask a little bit of questions, but not many. But again, when I hear in Maryland, I'm like, wow, to even have that ability to say, no, ma'am, can you please print this off too for me? So while I'm in my car, I can go through it. I need to hand this to my aunt who this matters, you know?
Right. Absolutely. Because, you know, For Maryland, the only kind of gripe that I have is within the dispensary model and on the electronic menu boards, if they're not up to date, it's like walking into a grocery store and not being able to read the ingredients on your food.
Yes.
Is medicine and it makes a difference. If somebody is a perfect example. So I have a chemo patient that I'm working with. And no appetite whatsoever, right? Everything else is great. Like no nausea, we're good on that. No appetite. So if they go in and purchase medication that's high in Humulin and THCV, he's screwed. Like he has no appetite at all, you know, but the girl that wants to lose weight, perfect for her, you know, because these two things help with, you know, appetite suppressant. So it's teaching that, but it's teaching how to know what to substitute. And so that's where my huge passion is. And that's why I say CannaTracker, because it gives people the ability to walk in and go, okay, well, I had this tincture and it had X, Y, and Z in it, because I know I had the profile. What do you have that's closest to? This is what I need, and this is what I need to stay away from. And so, you know, I am proud for Maryland and happy that we do have those accesses. And not a lot of patients realize that you can ask for that, you know, certificate of analysis. You know, I always say, it is for the dispensaries, like you have to go through metric and you have to pull it up. It's not just like easy for them. So, you know, be courteous, respectful, give them a heads up, say, hey, I'm coming in. I ordered this. I'd like to have a COA copy with it, please. Thank you. And that's that. And that's, but that's their right. And a lot of people just don't realize that. So that's why I'm kind of like passionate about teaching people what their rights are as a patient, what their rights are as, you know, going into dispensaries, what they can and cannot do, you know, because nobody wants to feel stupid. Everybody wants to feel empowered, and especially when it involves your health and your own medication.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's intimidating, especially, you know, if you're talking, you know, kind of catering to, what do they call them? The silver dabblers, I believe, is the marketing term for that older generation who's dipping into the old cannabis. I think so. It's a great term, by the way. It's a great generational marketing term. Let's be honest. Silver dabblers. So the silver dabblers into that. I'm just going to use that for now on. It can be a lot. It's a lot of information. I'm always curious how people, you know, take when you talk about terpene profiles and how they could work with an ailment. When you introduce people to the endocannabinoid system, I feel like that's like a magical thing that when you first see it and someone, you know, back in the day, they had those kind of paintings or those kind of artwork on the walls that had 3D images and you had to kind of basically blank out and be able to form it. I was not a 3D image poster viewer. Like I could never see it. I was never in the cool kids. I could never find that. And I feel like when you learn about the ECS, when you learn about the endocannabinoid system, that's the moment when you're like, oh, I see the sailboat. That is exactly what happens. A shout out to David Yakubovich, friend of the show, CBD Nation, a great documentary on Amazon Prime, Behind the Doc. We interviewed him. Wonderful gentleman that put together. It's a great, if you've never seen CBD Nation, by the way, Kathy, on Amazon Prime, not to shout out David's movie, but it has a wonderful 4-minute little animated segment where it displays the endocannabinoid system and how CB1, CB2 receptors work. And it really helped me, is not a smart gentleman, helped me kind of figure out the endocannabinoid system. What are your, whether they're old or young, when you talk to people about how this terpene, you just mentioned Humulin or limonene, myrcene, with how these terpenes interact with our bodies, how they react to different symptoms, and then the ECS, do you find acceptance? Do you find inquisitive looks? Do you find fooey? Like, how do you feel about that?
I find a lot of people, you know, like you say, you kind of like, wow, it does what? You know?
Yeah, and I'm like, it's like magical.
But it's like, it's naturally occurring in your body. You know, this is the beautiful part. And I think that's the light bulb for people to be like, okay. I'm like, your body was literally produced with this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's meant to be a receptor site. And I think it solidifies for people. You know, it's not just me going, oh, this is great for you. You know, because it's not for everybody. Let's be honest. You know,
thank you for that, by the way. Side note, just thank you for that. Just, I don't mean, you got a great point going. I feel like when we get medical professionals, not yourself, but sometimes, or cannabis patients, it's not a magic pill. It's not a cure all. It's not a cure in general. We got to be very careful. I hate that term being used. It is a, I think, and even
it's,
you know,
a tool.
It's even within your major, like it's a therapeutic measure, right? It's a tool. I like to use that. So thank you for saying that, by the way, because, and I think, you know, Dr. Umar Kumar Bid talks about that too. It's not for everyone, right? It's not. So thank you.
Absolutely.
And not all the things with it are good. It's not just about being for everyone. It's like, there are some negative effects that are just not right for everyone. And to just have that, everything is perfect. This is, you know,
it's honest that conversation. Mindset.
Yes, it's.
It's absolutely important. And it's being able to say, you know, it's not a magic drug. It's not going to cure everything for you. It may help with some symptoms and it may not make them all go away, but it may lessen some of even ripple effects. So you can start eliminating all, you know, whether you're eliminating other medications or eliminating other symptoms, mm-hmm. and try and find what that root cause is as to where that disease is really perpetuating within your body.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. Let's take a step back, Kathy. I feel like we're going there. We'll obviously get back to CannaTracker.net, which we should say is a Maryland-only company, right? That's Maryland-only. You got to get that MCO money there, Kathy. Get up to there. But let's take a little bit step back. You know, I want to talk about your time at the University of Maryland. Is that correct? University of Maryland, right? Where you went for that. Yep. But we got to go back a little further because we got to hear, you know, kind of your OG story. You look like, and I mean this in a complimentary way, you look like a nice lady. Like you look like a nice lady. You look like a normal person. I feel like Dustin looks like a stoner. We've talked about this many times. I do not. I wear polo shirts. I had someone tell me that once, by the way. I'm an avid polo wearer, and they said, you can't smoke cannabis. And I said, why? They're like, because you wear collars. And I'm like, that's the silliest thing I've ever heard. But I love that stereotype that collar wearers don't. So take us back, Kathy, if you will. Right. Tell what you're comfortable with. Give us your OG story on the cannabis, kind of finding into it. And then let's talk into how you decided, you know, and this you can truncate this, don't worry, how you decided to go from that feels good to I want to go to a master's of science in cannabis science and therapeutics, because that's a big jump. We're just two idiots with microphones. That's a big jump to commit yourself to say, I want to figure out the scientific aspect behind this and how I can help people. I mean, other than, hey, bro, here's a joint. I mean, that's a big step. So tell us about your OG story and kind of the quick version of how you got to University of Maryland's program.
Well, I'm a deadhead from way back, so
we'll start there. There you go.
Yeah. And into crystals and into everything hippie related. That's
good
me.
For you.
Yeah. And I've always been that way. So, you know, as I went through life in general, I've always had an alternative kind of outlook on a lot of approaches and modalities. So, you know, whether it be Eastern Western medicine, it's anything, you know, finding what fits. So in going through kind of life, like I say, you know, we owned a restaurant for 15 years. I did that for a long time. And when COVID hit, I was already a year into grad school. We were heading down the path of wanting to sell the business. It was doing great. We had three different buyers at one point on the hook going back and forth. And so for me, I was like, all right, what am I going to do beyond the restaurant? You know, at some point I wasn't going to be there forever. It was never our intention. And so I was like, you know what? My kids were, they're, you know, at that age where they were starting to shop colleges. And honestly, getting back onto a campus, I was like, God, I miss like learning things. Yeah. And like, you know, like feeding your brain.
Sure, absolutely.
When you do something, you know, for whatever it is for a long time, you get into
comfortable. It's routine. It's not absolutely. I'm not going to say the word either, but yes, it's a comfortability. I don't know what it is. Both of us refused in that. It's
right.
Jostling.
And for me, I do great with change. I love innovation. And I think that's being entrepreneur, you're always looking for what can we improve? What can we do better? What can we change? What can we push an envelope with? I mean, hell, our restaurant's name was Hemp and Hill Barbecue. So we push envelopes all the time. That's just who we are and it's what we do. And so when University of Maryland came out with that program, I actually was accepted at Syracuse for another master's program as a information system and library science.
Oh, you took do you think librarians get down with the cannabis? You know, maybe they do.
When it I own the head shop, I will say my summers were filled with teachers and other administrative staff from school. Mm-hmm. So I know they do.
Let me just ask a quick question, side note, just because I like everyone's opinion here. I think people typically know that you consume, you watch TV, consume, listen to music. Where are you two at? Just on a personal level, on consuming and then reading. like digging into a novel? Do you like to consume and then read? Do you find that highlights the experience, or do you feel you read better sober?
Yeah, definitely. I tried it through school and wasted an entire day. I was like, this was a bad decision. Very, very bad decision.
Music and TV, good. Books, bad. Dustin, where are you at on the books? Can you break up the, can you break a crack a spine on a tome while cracking a joint at the same time?
Absolutely.
Of course you can. Absolutely. That's not a shocker in the slightest in any way, shape, or form if you know our show, Because Cannabis. Follow it. Hear more gems like that. So you went to the school. What was the program like? You know, it's a... Man, this sounds so weird, right? It sounds so weird. And someone who is a employee at the Cleveland School of Cannabis, but we're more of a smaller institution. We're a career school. We've talked about this many times, but we're more of that focused career school, you know, section. You are the University of Maryland, right? Isn't that the, like the turtles? What's the terrapins?
Yes, isn't it?
Not the terrapins. No, what's the turtles? What's it called?
Terrapins.
Terrapin. That's so close to terrapin. That's a state that was destined to be on cannabis. The terrapins, right? It's the turtle with the shield on its back or something. Probably a J out the mouth. But they have this program. Did you find yourself, what is Kathy Reeder day one? I'm sure you got the juice box and the lunch box. You walk into class. Is it a bunch of folks like yourself? Do you find it's more Dustin's, more me's? What's it like on the program in the University of Maryland's? Because you feel the big name college, but then you talk to cannabis, but then it's a master. So like we have at our school, our students, it's a career school. Some of them fit that stoner stereotype, right? We had to make a lot of signs to say stop consuming on campus. University of Maryland feels a little more prestigious. So what is that? And I don't mean to shame you. They're my place of employment. I love you. What's that like day one, you walk into class? I know I'm a little wound up today, Dustin. Too much coffee. What's that like?
It was everybody all over the map. And that, you know, and when you walk into that room and everybody is there with the same intent because they want to learn, they want to contribute. It was such a sense of community. Awesome. It was anything from lawyers to, you know, at the time, restaurant owners to business people, physicians, people that had multiple PhDs, still coming back to get a master's degree. So everybody was very much like, it was just such a great vibe. You know, the room was alive for sure. And I think, of course, with the excitement of being, I was in the first class. So it was like, you know, kind of history making for all of US, you know, University of Maryland, they spent a lot of time really, it had been in the works for 2 years. And when I applied for it, it had just gotten launched. And they really worked hard at getting this to put together.
That's awesome.
So Dean Eddington is, Natalie Eddington is the dean of the school, and she did an amazing job putting everything together. It was online course where you had symposiums once a semester that were held in, you know, so it was literally everybody across the country and two people from outside of the US that participated in it.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Do you, when I heard the list of people that were getting the masters in this, it sounded like just through the occupation itself, I could tell the why. You know, was any of this more than just occupational on why they were continuing this? I mean, did you hear any why statements that just weren't more than to further the career, you know, with your peers there?
Yeah, absolutely. There was, and I would say the majority were not digging just for another income, but were digging to really root themselves and establish a community. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really what the great part about it was, because everybody all of a sudden was on the same plane, right?
Yeah.
So you didn't have people up or people down. You had everybody in there together in it to win it, so to speak, right? And so it was great. It was a good program. I enjoyed it. Great forums. And even with being online, and of course, we, you know, because we would have started August of 2019. So, you know, way prior to COVID, and then COVID hit, and then you were already online anyways. But just the caring and the compassion within going through that, because we actually lost our restaurant through COVID and chose to shut down in July of 2020. So I was super thankful to have this to not only continue, but to really kind of have something to look forward to. And
yeah,
to
reinvigorate your soul a little bit after so long of dedicating it to another, your child, you know, and it's, yeah.
Yeah, you know, you go through a mourning and everything, and but it was, you know, in that hippie cosmic sense, everything was in alignment and I was where I was supposed to be, you know, and that's like the beautiful part of it.
Did you ever consider infused barbecue sauce as a side business? Wait, I feel like, and there's a whole side we cannot tell, but I feel like the best podcast here is Kathy Reeder's parties at the barbecue place.
Yes, I agree. 100% agree.
That's the show everyone wants to hear. People, friends and family of Kathy, that's what they want to know about. Any infused barbecue sauce at those parties?
Yeah. Well, yeah, we did a lot of infused different things, but yeah, outside the restaurant, a lot of different ideas rolling on. Absolutely.
What's the best barbecue item? That's what I want to know. Like, where do you stand a barbecue? Where to you? Or someone who smoked it if you got it, so to speak. Good pun. I'm full of puns.
God, I love it.
I know, right? Kathy had a couple puns earlier too. What's your favorite thing to make and consume with barbecue? So not even infused, but just like barbecue, because I love barbecue. Barbecue's amazing.
All right, so here's the ironic twist on this. I'm a vegetarian.
Shut the front door. M. Night Shyamalan just rolled into this podcast and threw
there
a
you go. Run.
Just hold on Dude. A second. Hold on. Oh, okay. Kathy Reeder.
Are you allowed to?
Dustin, you got bad internet connection. Hey, Kathy Reeder, canatracker.net. Hold on a second. I had this whole conversation path we're going to go down. We're going to circle back. We're going to get to the Absolutely. Medicinal aspect. But you just went with, I'm a barbecuer who's a vegetarian.
Right. So for the record, I was front of the house. And so I was the bartender, right? That was my background. My husband is the one that competed professionally for barbecue and did, you know, the whole tours, went to the Jack Daniels World Invitational.
Oh, nice.
He made it twice to that, one third in pork, one of the times, American Royal out in, you know, the whole way out.
I used to went through a barbecue reality show phase once. I watched like two straight seasons of barbecue reality shows. Yeah. I feel like I got to know these people.
So a lot of these people that were on there were friends of my husband.
Sure.
So his name's Jay. So yeah, Jay was always the one out on the road bringing things back. And, you know, Dustin, like you, definitely way long time medicinal user forever. So he describes himself as 50% recreational, 50% medicinal. But yeah. Yeah.
Dustin, were you at a barbecue? I don't know if I know this about you. I learned the Google thing. Were you at in the barbecue?
I love it. In fact, you know, yeah, I love it. And I'm a comfort food type of guy. So I will go for the mashed potatoes and the barbecue over the sweets any day for my
beef,
comfort.
Beef or pork? Where do you, if you had to choose, you go the brisket, the pulled pork, even the pulled chicken, not as much for the, where do you go barbecue chicken? Like if you had to pick, what's your, and I know, I feel like not in the ears here, Kathy, what's your meat of choice? If you got to barbecue it up, you're going to slather on some of Jay's famous sauce. Jay have his own like sauce, like a famous sauce? Of course he does, right?
Yep.
Of course he does. I'm a no sugar kind of sauce. That's how I roll. Like no, that's where I'm at right now. What's your favorite pork, beef or chicken, Dustin?
I think it's going to be pork.
Yeah.
I think pork is it.
Ribs, pulled pork.
But I want to know what veggies can we barbecue like that? What do we, what else we got? Like a portobello mushroom or something?
Portobello mushrooms. We did smoked tofu on our menu that was just, and it was a spin on a pad thai.
Mm-hmm.
But we rubbed up the tofu and then smoked it that way. And it was a huge seller for us. And we were also, you know, mind you, we were in Hagerstown, Maryland, so we're an hour west of Baltimore, D.C., and people are like, tofu what? Really?
Yeah, I know. You know?
But we're a blended family, right? So I don't eat meat. Obviously, my husband does, and my kids would kind of go either way, more to the meat side, obviously, until, you know, if I'm cooking, and then
You got a touring level barbecuer cooking it up. Yeah, like if it's me back there with my electric master grill thing, no. But if you got Jay on, yeah, for sure you're eating that as kids.
But I'm also from Maryland, so I do seafood. So I guess technically pescatarian. So, you know, I mean, you can't be from Maryland and not eat crabs and shrimp and all the good jazz.
Absolutely not.
Obey for life, babe.
We got side railed. Let's get back.
Yeah. At what point is a lot of your meetings one-on-one, or is this something that you're going to end up doing more of a telemed situation and scale it in that way to the rest of the state?
Both of those, absolutely. And, you know, so my big thing is definitely education does not stop at a state line. So again, you know, I'm 10 minutes from Maryland and West Virginia, but education can go anywhere. So, you know, I can telehealth and consult with people that way. I actually had put together an RSO class of how to make an RSO. Yeah, which was fantastic. Love doing it. So we do it, you know, in small, very, very small classes that way, because it's an involved process. But the simplicity of it is, again, to empower people to say you can still make your own medicine. And it's really not that hard, right?
Yeah, shout out to our boys at Mend with Dignity, who, you know, do the same thing, teach people how to make their RSO. Is a documentary about a couple guys.
Oh yeah, Men with Dignity documentary. We had the director Kim on the story up in Canada. He was just touring. He just, this guy just goes around, this two silver dabblers, as they were. These are hardcore medicinal users out there teaching just people free of charge, like how to make their own RSO. It's kind of a great, cool thing up there that they're doing in these tiny little communities of Canada.
Yeah. Patient that I have teach how to make suppositories. You know,
God, that's awesome. Something I haven't heard across the board. And to me, it's necessary in a lot of cases.
Yeah. And it's, again, it's not hard, but it's that kind of getting past that concept or an idea of like, oh my God, how are we going to do this? Like, really, it's not that hard. Let's break it down, right? It's really easy. It's a great route of administration. People don't want to talk about suppositories, but hey,
I just watched recently. I was part of a someone I know who put on a how to infuse your own tampon, like little seminar on the side, CBD infused tampons. It was focused on that aspect. But they showed, because we had to use CBD, how to infuse your own CBD tampons. And it feels weird. Yep. And there was almost these middle school giggles at first. And then it settles into, oh my gosh. Like this is when you start to think about the variety of different ways of consumption and ailments, and you know, in things particularly like CBD and maybe some of these other cannabinoids, the sales and people tend to go towards more of the topicals or the tinctures, which are flipped in the THC marketplace. So when you have these other types of things, you know, all these other ways that people can both make their own medicine, but in a delivery system that they're comfortable with. And it's not just the joint or the cookie. And so I really appreciate that you are connecting people with, look, I understand some people's digestive tract may not be able to process this. So where can we find a different way to consume it? Or doctors and researchers working on, my big thing I'm fascinated with, Kathy, now is nebulization. They're working on that.
Yes, we've been talking about that. About to bring that up. Literally that my next question.
Oh, all right. Well, I'm going to steal it.
Do you have nebulization already? Yeah, for sure.
Okay. What do you, like, again, in Ohio, like, we can have flower, but I have to put it in a dry herb device, you know, a vape device. Yeah. And the same thing with, you know, then we have our oil, we have our distillate, we have our, but I really believe that nebulization is what Ohio actually wants as above all that. And I believe that some of these stricter states that have not come into the mix yet, that is their out in a lot of ways. It is such a controlled, almost, it just, everything about it allows the state to make a lot of arguments. How do you feel about it being the only source, or are states even telling someone that there aren't certain ways?
Yeah, that if people say, look, you can consume it, but only this way?
Of course not, you know, because nobody wants to be like, here, you can have this, but you can only do this with it. Well, then what the hell? I mean, yeah, you can't have it both ways. So I feel like nebulizers and MDIs, that was one of the sections of school that when we were doing advanced chemistry class, that I was just like, yes, this is where it's at. Like, this so makes sense. It's easy to titrate. It's easy to dose. And I actually reached out and spoke with one of the companies that was making some of them, and, you know, kind of exploring that as an option. So I would love to, and apparently this is my cosmic sense to remind myself to circle back to the gentleman, but yeah.
I'm just fascinated by the continue. You know, I love just on a business marketing angle, just all the different ways that you can make these products and sell them off. But then you think about the medicinal aspect and the different ways of consumption to get directly to the ailments. And I think that's Absolutely. What makes it so interesting. It just makes it such an interesting plant. And then obviously you add the fibrous material and the industrial hemp part of it. And it just what makes it so unique that you can have those different ways. Do you have some, I don't know, I guess as we kind of get closer to wrapping up here, just some misconceptions or things like when you meet with people, some common talking points or when people have that, you know, we can kind of dose out there, so to speak. Too many.
Yeah, absolutely. And with, you know, in meeting with people and, you know, writing the journal and doing all these things, I've also come to learn of how many misconceptions there are mm-hmm. as far as what their expectations and experience are not always in their mind are going to be in alignment. So I feel like my job is to get expectations and the outcomes kind of in alignment by saying things like this is, you know, this may or may not work for you. But going through different routes of administrations and exploring some different options based on what they're trying to achieve, you know, so it's kind of like misconceptions as far as, you know, what is this going to do to me? Because they don't know. And so being able to kind of paint some pictures. So what I have actually at the printers currently, because I just finished this project up, which I'm super stoked about.
Oh, I know, I'm excited.
I'm excited to learn too.
So going back to being hippie. So if you're familiar with like Oracle cards.
Mm-hmm. Right? I was just going to say, you remind me of an angel reader that I once went to named Kathy. And I was like, I thought I had already knew you before. I was like, this lady. Oh
my
God.
I have no idea what you guys are. All right. So this is where my collar has to interject. I don't know what an Oracle card is.
So Oracle card. So
it's like a tarot card.
Kind of like that. Right. All so right. You could do readings with them and stuff.
Okay. I get your jam now.
If you want to bring it into science minded, it could be considered a flashcard. Right. So to take the hippiness out of it and just to bring in the education component, if you wanted to call it a flashcard. Mm-hmm. But so I have them a deck that will be coming out that'll be printed and available for sale. But it will connect all the cannabinoids are in there, all the terpenes are in there, different routes of administrations, about your ECS, what it does. So you could either do a reading for yourself, if that's your path and modality, and to be able to go through your card, right? So BC, what you would do on the collar side of the world.
Yeah, totally. You got it. I'm on the always, I appreciate it, but I do tend to bore more skeptical than, right. I don't even believe in ghosts either. And Dustin's got his arm, right? So I tend to flow more skeptical to Dustin's acceptance and love side. It's the collar. Okay. That's what we learned. It's the collar.
Yeah. So this is back to the pushing the envelope. So, you know, be able to, it's kind of like, think about deli style, right? So Maryland, thank God we got back into deli style. So you're able to go into dispensary, you're able to actually smell the flower in apothecary jars. And so I teach people like, go with what smells good, because this is what your body.
Yes, yes, I love it. You're the first person out of hundreds to say that. It's so brilliant. It's no different than me having that urge to eat a certain food, knowing, you know, like ketchup or something. It's like, I probably need iron. I probably need, you know, like, I don't know. I think
cannabis is very brilliant. You know, just everybody needs to stop complicating it.
Yeah, right? That's absolutely true.
You know, and that's what some of the misconceptions, right? So you're talking with people and I always relate like, okay, so think of a tomato plant. Right. So a tomato plant, you have different varietals, chemovars. You have a flower, is your tomato is the flower of the plant, bud. Right. So it's kind of like teaching that. So when you're doing oracle cards or flashcards, you would then kind of sort them out and you gravitate to kind of, you don't know why you're picking this card. Your higher self knows, and you're going through and going, okay, so we're going to pick X, Y, and Z, and then you're looking at them going, okay, so these are some of the things, and that may be a little deep for you, BC, but this is the intent of the deck.
Is there Do you have any links or something that we might be able to put in the description of the bio that we can send some people to for the cards?
Okay, yep. Cool. Like I say, they're at the printer now, so I haven't gotten them physically. So within the next couple of weeks, I expect them to be delivered. But yeah, I'm stoked about it. I mean, I think it'll be a cool thing. It'll be, again, something else. And even if you get the deck and then you just pull what works for you now, because as we all know, cannabis and your body change. So what works today, you may need something different tomorrow. One of the huge things that we definitely learned through school and was a different way of thinking, I think, about route of administrations is considered dose layering. And this is something that Dr. Solek teaches out of he's in Maine. So he's in charge, if you're familiar with Healer, is a cannabis brand. And so he runs his own cannabis practice. He'd be a great person to have on here if you guys can get him. I don't know how in demand he is.
I don't know. We'll find out.
Yep, Dustin Solak, he's amazing. And so he definitely is a huge proponent of dose layering, which is kind of, you know, you do, say, your inhalation to get the ball rolling. And then into that, you're doing either a tincture or an edible. So as one's exiting your body, you're layering your doses, because the whole point is to have, like any other medication, steady stream in your body. And even doing, like, I'm a huge microdoser. So doing microdosing through the day to have that steady stream instead of peaks and valleys. So, like, game changing within cannabis and how you're consuming.
Well, and then factoring that with your journal, where you're actually, you know, the documentation of it, you're actually saying, like, oh, last Friday I was at this point, we need to adjust. Or that's pretty awesome. What, because we are coming down to the end here. What is the, I want to end on a positive note, and I want to know, what is the most exciting thing in Kathy's world coming up in the next 2 years with whether it's the business or the industry, or, you know, what is that? I'm ready to keep going. I keep seeing the light bulbs going out, but I know I'm in the right place and this is what I want to, you know, accomplish.
Absolutely. So Maryland will go rec in November. It's on the ballot. It'll be on the ballot, and MMCC is hiring like crazy. So, you know, it's going through if they're putting people in place.
Yep.
And so within that, you know, one of the questions that I got asked is, well, what is your marketplace? And I'm like, anyone who's breathing, right? Because everybody can at least endure this and educate it. And whether it's for themselves, it could be for a family member. And so, you know, what I'm excited about moving forward is whether I'm working with other agencies or still on my own, I'm very open to the path that's brought to me, because I am a huge proponent of allowing that to unfold and having trust in that process. And so, you know, my excitement is just continuing education and getting people to see the plant for what it is and allowing them to be their own best advocate.
You are amazing. Yeah, right? This was a good show. Awesome. I mean, come on.
I know.
Thank you.
Going. Kathy Reeder, CannaTracker.net, which we should mention, Maryland only company, CannaTracker.net. But your Oracle cards, right? We're Oracle cards, and we'll get that link, send it to us. We'll toss it in the YouTube notes. So if you're listening to this on YouTube, you should be able to, after you click subscribe, you should be able to go down and see that link. So we'll get that into there as well. Those would be shipped anywhere, correct? That's available for
absolutely.
Anyone?
Absolutely. In the journals, I can ship them too.
Oh, the journals as well. All right. So is that, so send us that link. So we'll make sure on top of CannaTracker.net. And if you're a Maryland resident, obviously we're going to give all the love, visit CannaTracker.net. I think anyone that can spend that much time and education, just listening to you, Kathy, this last 60 minutes, I'm smarter for sure. But it's you can see the passion. You can see the passion. You can see the science behind it. You can tell that it is from a both legitimate scientific confidence that you speak and passion, right? You can see both kind of, you know, the hippie and the Hippocratic Oath. My gosh, I'm on fire. The hippie and the Hippocratic Oath happening right. I know, I'm on fire today, people. It is full of puns and alliteration. That should be the name of the show, by the way.
Hippie and Hippocratic Oath.
Yeah, I feel like educating education and endocannabinoids was the name we tossed together before we met you. We can't rename it now, but hippie and Hippocratic Oath for the next doctor, Charlie, Dustin, by the way. Charlie, save that one for the next one. Yeah. Kathy Reeder, CannaTracker.net. Really appreciate you coming on to the show today, spending time with us, talking about that, educating us. For sure. No, I think it was wonderful to have you on. Dustin, I'll let you kind of get your words in, and then we'll wrap up here.
I honestly, I felt blessed today having you here. It was a really good show, and we really do appreciate you taking the time out. We know that it's a hassle, and we even talked before about, you know, you having to go somewhere else to, you know, even have the show to begin with for Better Internet and stuff. So thank you yeah, so much.
Moving to find us. So thank you everyone for joining us. Thank you, Kathy Reeder from CannaTracker.net. Find the links below, order those cards there. Don't forget, subscribe to the show, wayward.media. That's where our webpage is, the other podcasts we have as well. Socially at MeetWM, you know the drill. Dustin, great to see you again. Every Friday, 4:20 p.m., brand new Because Cannabis shows every week. Even if I want to bail, Dustin finds a new guest like Eric Asher last week to join us every week, a brand new Because Cannabis episode, followed on audio wherever you listen to your audio podcast. Kathy, thanks for joining us. Everyone, we'll see you next Friday. Thank you.